For our message today, we're going to turn to a passage of scripture that may be familiar to you. I suspect it is. We're going to look into John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we're going to be reading verses 16 through 21. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. Now, we are fairly familiar with John 3:16. Sometimes we don't maybe read on to the verses that follow, but it is at this time that Jesus is meeting with Nicodemus, part of the religious leadership of that time, and Nicodemus has come to him quietly by night. And you might be wondering, why are we looking at John 3:16 at Christmas? Because when we talk about verse 17, we will read this in a second. It says, "For God did not send." So when did Jesus come? He come as a babe, he come at what we celebrate at Christmas time. So let's read John 3:16 through 21. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. He who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word." Verse 17, as we said, it says, "For God did not send his Son." He sent him, as we've said, at Christmas time. And we celebrate Jesus coming to the earth as a baby. Don't be distracted by whether Jesus was born on the 25th of December or not. We mentioned this to you before, but let me briefly mention it again. How many times have someone had a birthday and you couldn't celebrate on the day, so you said, "Let's celebrate on Saturday," or "Let's pick another time to celebrate"? This is the time that we as Christians have chosen to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And it's important that we remember that he came and why he came. And in these verses, we're reminded of his coming. And we read John 3:16. We read John 3:17 that he did not come into the world. Look at verse 17 again. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 18 tells us that he is condemned already. Not he, but those who do not believe. "For he who believes him is not condemned," verse 18, "but he who does not believe is condemned already." When Jesus came to the earth, he came because we were already condemned. We were already guilty. We were born into the sin nature of Adam and Eve. And we had committed sins, evil deeds. And so if he did not come, we would still be condemned. So when he says, I do not come to condemn the world, but through the world might be saved, he didn't need to, in his coming, cause the condemnation. It already existed. It stays in place if he doesn't come. But see, if you reject Jesus, you double down on the condemnation. You were already condemned because of sin, but then he offers you the gift of life if you accept him. And if you reject him, you build on your condemnation. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 18 again. I know we're jumping around. We're going to really solidify this. But it's all in this one passage. If he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If we don't believe, we're condemned. If we have the gift and we shun it, we've doubled down on the condemnation. That's why he came. So we could be delivered from the condemnation, but it's not only that we're delivered from the condemnation, we don't go to a net zero. He moves us on to a place, if we follow him, that we can go to heaven. It's not only that we're avoiding hell and condemnation, but we can acquire heaven as he completes his entire mission, which was that he was crucified, he died, he was buried, he rose again, and then he ascended to the Father. And so in his coming, he provides salvation. Not condemnation. But it tells us in verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. Some would like to live a life where Jesus' death and resurrection becomes a get-out-of-jail-free card. That you can do whatever you want, say whatever you want, get as drunk as you want. But verse 20 says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. We are not to be continuing to practice in sin. And see, if we come fully into the light, and how do we come into the light? We read God's word, we pray, we're around Christians that challenge us to live more godly lives. We sit in church, we hear the messages. And when the light is shined on it, it shows the evil. You've maybe watched some of these cop shows, and they'll get out a black light. And that black light will expose evil that has been done in the room. Sometimes they find blood spatter. You know, if you're working on a car and you have an air conditioner that leaks, you put some dye in there and you shine a black light on it and you look through the glasses and it identifies the problem and where it's leaking. But we have to be willing to allow God's light to shine on our lives. So it's not only that Jesus came so that we can have forgiveness of our sins and get away from condemnation, but He came so that we can move towards a holy life. But there is expectation that we should not continue to practice evil. There should be a change. There should be a repentance, which means to change. It's a light that we come into that searches and exposes. And it also, because of that light, it gives us the opportunity, through the grace of Jesus, that we can accept Him and take care of that problem, that sin problem. And in verse 21, it says, "But he who does the truth comes to the life, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." He's repeating some of the same theological items to make a point. Because we know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we're reminded of, but he who does the truth. The truth. It does not say a truth. It says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But who does the truth? Watched a football game last night. Watched Ohio State play. But if people go to Ohio State or from Ohio State, they don't say, "Oh yeah, I went to Ohio State University." You know, there's an Ohio University. And so what do they typically say? "I went to the Ohio State University." The one and only Ohio State University. We usually say the. But we are to practice the truth. The Bible doesn't seem to give the implications that there are multiple truths. Jesus says, "I am the truth." He doesn't say, "I am the truth, and Buddha's the truth, and Muhammad's the truth, and on and on." He says, "I am the truth." Other religious leaders and religions that are out there, I don't know that they claim divinity. Jesus does. He says, "I am the truth." So it's not your truth or my truth, it's the truth. The truth. The truth is Jesus came to die, to be crucified, to die, to be buried, to arise, rose again, and ascend to the Father. And all those pieces are important because people will say, "Oh, that he became God. He didn't become God. He was God. But he came as a man." He was God and man, and that's important. That he come without sin and live the sinless life so that he could be that sacrifice, sinless sacrifice for us. And it's not only that he died for us, because some would say that he didn't die, but he did die. He had to die. That was the requirement to meet the sin penalty. And he was buried. But he rose again, because if he did not rise again, then we would not have the victory over the penalty. Would have not have victory over the grave. And he ascended to heaven. So we believe in that bodily resurrection. And we, as some practice Advent, Christ's first coming to this earth, believe in a second Advent, which is Christ's second coming. He will come back in the clouds. But it begins at Christmas time. I know it was set before time, but it began happening here on earth. Jesus came for us to save us. To save us from what? The condemnation. To save us from hell, and not only save us from hell, but to make it possible that we did not have to continue sinning, that we could stop sinning. Verse 20, everyone practicing evil, we can stop practicing evil, and we can, through the power of God, live in the center of His will and anticipate eternity in heaven. This is why He came. For God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That is something we celebrate. And when we celebrate Christmas time, we celebrate the gift that He gave us, the opportunity of eternal life, to escape the condemnation. And so do you possess that gift? He places that gift out in front of us so that we can obtain it. So these verses remind us, to those who possess the gift of salvation, we celebrate. To those that do not possess it or have been continuing in evil, have returned to sin, may the gift of the light of Christ shine on your heart and remind you that you need to return to God, that you need to repent, accept His salvation, and live the life that God wants to live through you. Wants you to live through Him. So at this Christmas time, as you celebrate Christmas, celebrate what it's really about with an eye towards Easter. And may you live in the fullness of the gift that Christ wants to provide for you. Let's be standing together. Father God, we do thank You for sending Your Son. Jesus, we thank You for dying on the cross, and Holy Spirit, we thank You for coming in Your presence to us as we accept salvation. We pray at this Christmas time that we might be reminded of our need of You. And if we've accepted You, we might be reminded of the gift, and that we might desire to walk deeper in You, that it might refresh and invigorate us. But if we have not, that we might open our hearts to You, ask for forgiveness, desire to change, ask You to change our lives, that we might just thank You for dying on the cross for us. But we do thank You at this time of year for the gift that You gave to us. Help us to not lose focus, to be distracted by things of this world, but be focused on You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.